This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Man, a good afternoon to you too, sir. I am so glad to be talking to you right now.
I know, right? It's been a couple weeks here, and man, we're just kind of getting back in gear, man. Things are fresh. Things are new. Things are things are good.
Yeah, you know, I always hesitate to say, like, it's been a couple of weeks, because, you know, through the magic of theater of the mind, no, we've been here every single week for the last...
Oh, we don't miss a step, baby. No. Not at all.
We didn't record a bunch of stuff early on to make sure that we'd be covered for the move and everything. No, you think we prepare like that? No, man, this is off the cuff.
Right. No, that's exactly right. It's been a lot of fun, lots of things going on, kind of insane, but yeah, getting back in the saddle here, recording me and Jackson, you in Houston, and just getting it all going, man. You've had some insane stuff going on yourself, though, man. I know, even though overall things are good, you've had some personal stuff going on. Do you want to share any about that, Bo?
Yeah, man, thanks for that. So this last past week, you may have seen it on Twitter, we're gonna get to a great show here, and this is just kind of a brief let you know what's kind of going on in my world.
Yeah, at the same time, I do want to acknowledge, like, you know, we are a pipe smoking show. That's what we do. But we also have made a, you know, a part of the nexus of our show is bringing our personal lives into this stuff. And Bo, you've had, you know, some big life events. And so I think our listeners, many of whom have become our friends, you know, want to know that kind of stuff.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Yeah, so I mentioned on Twitter this last past week, but my grandfather passed away a few days ago. And it was a very trying process. We got the word on Monday that it was heading in that direction. Last Monday that it was heading in that direction, and then it was almost like daily phone calls. You weren't sure if this was it or if this was it. This is someone who has been a very influential figure in my life. Somebody who has just really been a massive inspiration. He was a very strong man. He was a storyteller. He was a lawyer and dedicated to pursuing justice. And man, the other thing too is, I mean, if you took his picture at my age and my picture and put them right next to each other, I mean, it is almost the spitting image. It's kind of haunting, really.
Man, that's amazing. Yeah.
And so anyway, he was just a great leader for our family, and it was a massive family. Ours is a blended family where well before I was born, my grandmother passed away, and he married a widow who had several kids. He had several kids. You know, I often tell people, you don't get a family our size unless you're either a kind of a Brady Bunch situation or you're Catholic. Yeah. In this case, it was both.
It was so, both. Yeah.
So it's a pretty massive family, but I was honored to be able to give his eulogy, which was a big deal and very special to me. And so it was a difficult last past week, especially right after the move being fresh and everything. But the family came together and honored him. And just as a kind of a tribute, I want to kind of give this episode to Papa, just as somebody who, without him in every sense of the word, I would not be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you called your grandfather Papa? Is that right?
I did, man. I did. He was at the very like tail end, they were asking the grandchildren to call in, and he couldn't respond, but just to talk to him over the phone. And he wrote a book. I don't think it was ever, you know, like it was a self-published type situation. So, I mean, it's not like it went into circulation, but he wrote a book that I've had on my shelf. And so I kind of got it. And at the end of his book, the primary character is at the end of his life. And it's such a beautiful description of a life well-lived and passing on. And so the book he wrote was based off of stories that he told me. I'm going to get emotional here. I'm not meaning to, but, it was based off stories that he told me and my cousins when we were kids sleeping over at his house. Not knowing exactly, you know, I shared my thoughts with him and then just kind of sat and I read to him over the phone, and I read him that last chapter of the story. And it was a very special, you know, I don't know how much he heard or comprehended at that point, but Yeah, I know for me anyway, it was a really cathartic experience.
Yeah, it's incredible, man. Yeah, what an amazing experience. He sounds like a really fascinating person too, and you know, just the kind of ultimate figure in your family there that was the nexus of a lot of things. And man, you were able to honor that up to the very end. And man, that's wonderful. I know it was really difficult for y'all, but I'm glad to walk through it with you, and glad to be here with your brother, and I'm proud of how you handled it.
So. I appreciate that, man. And like we said, Papa, this one's for you.
This one's for you.
Yep. All right, we got some great things that are going on in the Pipe community, man. The big one, man, of course. You are going to Chicago this year.
I am, man. Gosh, we are right at a month away. Yeah, it's amazing. That first weekend there in May, the Chicago Pipe Show, of course, you know, big mecca of pipe collectors and pipe vendors and trinket salesmen and tobacconists and everything else. We are so excited, man. Yeah, so I'll be heading up there on May 2nd and staying through the end of that weekend, the 5th. And just so excited, man. It's still there at the creepy hotel that we've come to know and love, Pheasant Run Resort, there in St. Charles.
And it's so creepy.
Dude, it's so creepy, man. You know, it's funny. Interestingly enough, you know, last weekend was my first anniversary, right? And so my wife and I, I found some really cheap airplane tickets. And, you know, I've never been to Colorado, and we have Frontier Airlines here in Jackson now, and they fly to Denver. And I was like, well, man, really cheap tickets to go into Denver. Let's do that. And so we went out there, we made kind of a tour of the area, but one of the places I wanted to go see was Estes Park. Well, Estes Park has a hotel called the Stanley. It's a 100-year-old oddity hotel up on top of this kind of hill overlooking a valley that's up near Rocky Mountain National Park. And the Stanley is where The Shining was set. And the whole time, you know, so we're staying at this hotel, and it's like there's literally people have scrawled like red rum into the walls.
Oh my gosh,
and like,
seriously?
I'm dead serious. You know, people take these, you know, trips to room 217 to take photos in front of it. And they have a, you know, Stephen King's favorite drink at the bar, which is where he was inspired by the old barkeep there back in the early 70s to write this novel and all this kind of stuff. But it was just so funny. And as it was, you know, my wife and I were kind of looking around this hotel and picking on it and also enjoying the fact of what it was. I was thinking in my mind, like, you know, this reminds me a lot of the Pheasant Run. But,
yes,
you know, but... Oh, it kind of does, except, you know, the Pheasant Run doesn't, you know, you're not eating off gold plates or anything there. But the more we talk about it, the more I feel like, man, the Pheasant Run probably should not hire me.
We are not the spokespeople.
as a spokesman. But man, I tell you, though, as much as we pick on it, it is a great venue. I mean, think about in today's world, you know, the perfect place for, you know, pipe smokers to gather. Man, they really are gracious. And so we're obviously very thankful for them. And going to Pheasant Run, man, for the Chicago Pipe Show, and we're stoked. So this should be a good time.
All right, just make sure, John David, you got your phone with you. It is charged up. You are ready to collect those interviews, because that's the thing.
The problem bring us is with though. You. Yeah, the problem is though, I've got this doggone Android now, and I don't know what to do with it. So I may have to show you some. You may have to give me some pointers, some kind of an Android primer on how to deal with this until I can get through to my upgrade when I get my next iPhone.
So, right. I know. Look, man. All right. So of course we've also got some other news that's going on. Not just some major pipe shows happening here in the United States, but across the pond. Following the success of the 2017 and 2018 UK Pipe Show, they're coming back, baby. That's right. Sunday, 26 May 2019.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They will also be once again meeting at the same venue, which is the Canal House, Nottingham, England. And attendance is free. So you really don't have any excuse not to be there, unless, of course, you're over here. Once again, there will have some of the cream of the crop British pipe makers in attendance, such as Ian Walker of Northern Briars, Chris Kelly of Eldritch Pipes, Chris Asquith of Asquith Pipes, and Mike Billington of Blakemar Pipes. Also,
you know, you just said all those names, and I don't think you messed up a single one of them.
Yeah, I don't think I did, right?
But I'm gonna let you continue, because you're not done with the notes yet. But I mean, I just want to communicate how proud I am.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for setting me up to fail. Also in attendance will be Sam Bramamer.
There you go. That's the beau I know and love.
Of GQ Tobaccos and the Pipe Rack. And we will be hosting a raffle, a small charity auction, and of course, slow smoking competition. This is, by the way, information coming from our friend over there, Token Tommy. Token Tommy, buddy. Here's the thing. You know, I think it's great that the UK Pipe Show is coming back. I think it's great that it's got this life to it. You know, and I think it's even better that you've got this long smoke competition. You know, I don't know that y'all have announced what kind of tobacco you want to be the long smoke competition tobacco. I mean, I'm sure that you've got great tobacconists over across the pond. But
I can see where this is going a mile away.
Well, here's the deal. Like, when it all comes down to it, you know, it makes the most sense to represent the good people of the UK with the most superior tobacco that has ever graced the face of this planet. And of course, I'm talking about the wonderful, the regal, judicious, the white rose. I don't know. I just threw it in there. The white rose. That's what you want. You want white rose tobacco. There is no need for a war of the roses because we also know the white rose is raised triumphant in the modern era. So
no, that's right. We killed off Lancaster appropriately.
It's gone. It's
correct?
Dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so yeah. So what better way to celebrate pipe smoking in the United Kingdom than to smoke for your your long smoke competition a tobacco blended in Mississippi?
Hey, don't no. Yes, the white rose. That's what you want for the glory of Yorkshire.
We'll be waiting on that phone call. Yeah.
But also, speaking of wonderful events that are going on very, very soon, how about an event that's gotten kind of pushed back a little bit? You want to address event for next year?
So we just want to tease something out. I guess that's the point here.
Okay,
our dear friend, everyone who listens to the show is aware of the activity of lunting, and lunting has kind of become this incredible opportunity to experience the outdoors while smoking your pipe. Lunting, if you're not familiar, it means walking while smoking your pipe, strolling while smoking your pipe. But you know, it's kind of taken on a life of its own, right? It's its own outdoorsmanship, hiking, kayaking, all these things while smoking a pipe. Man, it's just there's such a passion for folks that love their pipe so much they want to take it into pristine nature and enjoy that kind of environment with it. And also it helps promote the hobby, right? It's folks out there on the trail, they're seeing you enjoy these beautiful things, pipe smoking and the incredible act of enjoying, the Lord's creation and all this other stuff. Man, I had the pleasure this week of hanging out with Scott Beidler, who came down to Jackson. He was passing through.
Awesome.
Scott, of course, is the president and founder of the International Lunting Society. And we've talked, with Scott, of course, on the air recently, as a matter of fact. You know, he's just a great guy, such a tender heart and such a passion for the pipe and for outdoors. It just has a really awesome family. They're really good people. One of those guys that if you ever interact with Scott, both online or in person, you're just immediately encouraged. And he's just one of those people. But anyway, Scott and I, we just want to tease out that we're cooking something up, and it's going to be probably for the first quarter of next year, 2020, which will be the Country Squire's 50th anniversary. And it will maybe, probably, likely be in our geographic area. And we are really excited about it. We're just teasing that out there a little bit. We just want folks to be kind of aware, if you're a lunting fan, if you're a pipe fan, if you're an outdoors fan, and maybe never have really connected those things together and are looking for an excuse to meet some other awesome pipe enthusiasts, just kind of keep that first part of next year kind of maybe sectioned off there a little bit on your calendar. And we'll be talking more about that later. But we're really excited. Scott and I were scheming people get together. All kinds of interesting things can happen. So.
Well said. Man, that's exciting. Okay.
Yep.
That's, man, that has the potential to be a seed that might blossom into something far larger than you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. Or it could just be a really fun time in Jackson. Who knows?
No, that's right.
We'll find out more as we go along. All right, then, man. finally, in terms of news and everything, and also just kind of teasing up, we do have another episode coming soon in our Pipe Culture Places series. Now, this is a series where we've kind of just began. We've kind of explored what are some different places that people enjoy their pipes.
Yeah.
And we're kind of doing a focused, I don't know if you want to call it a debate. I don't know if you want to call it a discussion. I don't know if you want to call it anything, but suffice to say, this episode is going to be the man cave versus the study discussion. So if you've got some thoughts on the man cave, if you have some thoughts on the study, if you have some thoughts on the concept of these two being at odds with each other, or maybe you believe them to be similar or at least in line with one another, one way or the other, we want to hear your thoughts. So send those into the show at countrysquireradio.com. Yep. Just put the pipe culture in the subject line, and that way we'll be able to find it. But yeah, we want to hear your thoughts on the man cave and the study for that upcoming episode. Now, I would be remiss if before we jumped into this episode, we didn't mention, of course, that we've got some brand new Country Squire Radio International Club members joining at the Squire level.
Oh,
give it
up.
Toby Spry, Cody R. DeWitt.
DeWitt, I think.
DeWitt.
I think you said it right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was what's the character from SNL that Keenan plays with... He's a pipe smoking character. He's one of the few pipe smoking characters on SNL, and he's like this movie buff. But I think his name is like Marcus DeWitt or something of that nature. So whenever I see a de something, it always reminds me of that character. But anyway, yes, Cody and Toby, welcome to the International Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, and especially the Squire level. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Of course, we could not do what we do every single week without support from members of the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club, and are just so thankful for that. So if you're interested in joining, go to patreon.com/countrysquireradio and be a part of what we're building here. We'd love to have you, and we'd be really honored.
Man, I know it's from our perspective, it's been a couple of weeks, but we've had a lot of news going on and everything. All that housekeeping though is out of the way. Man, we have got a great episode to dive into this week. We are going to be doing kind of a pipe smoking one-on-one based on some recommendations that we've gotten in the past. Specifically, we're talking about choosing the right cut of tobacco for the right bowl size.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're somebody who is out there and you want to kind of explore a lot of different cuts. Or maybe you're somebody who's out there and you think, man, I've got this one pipe and I want to make sure I'm getting the right tobacco for it. Or maybe you're somebody out there still who's got several different bowl sizes and you want to start getting a little bit more refined in your experience. This is that 101 exploration into the proper tobacco cuts for the proper bowl shapes and sizes.
Boy, talk about a nerd like topic, you know what I mean? Like this is about as pipe exquisite nerddom as you can get, because we're talking about a couple of things here, right? So folks look at pipes and they're like, well, I see different pipe shapes, but I don't know how on earth that would affect how you smoke a different type of tobacco, right? And then you've got folks that are like, well, aren't all pipe tobaccos, they're just kind of the same, you know, they're cut similarly, the moisture levels are similar, and they burn the same, and all this kind of stuff. It's just folks, you know, maybe new pipe smokers don't fully understand or aren't aware of. And so we're going to talk about the shapes of these different pipe bowls and what way it might pair best with some of your favorite tobaccos that are out there. So, you know, everyone looks at a pipe and they're like, why would a pipe shape affect the, you know, how your pipe smokes? Like if it's a billiard or if it's a bulldog, we've got a Canadian, a Lavat, bent pipe, straight pipe. We're not really talking about those things as much right now, right, Bo? We're talking more about the shape of the bowl, the chamber, as it were, right? So when you get dimensions of a pipe, you look at the dimensions. You've got the length, the height, and the height generally means the exterior of the bowl, but then you've got a chamber depth and a chamber width, right? And so those are different from the size of the bowl. You've got, you know, this chamber. Is it a big chamber? Is it a small chamber? You can have a huge chunk of briar with a very small tobacco chamber in it, and that, you know, will greatly affect the quality of your smoke and all that type of thing. We had a Sir Jacopo event at the Squire recently, right? They brought just dozens and dozens and dozens of pipes, and some of the ones that stood out were literally, you know, the size of I don't know something you would bludgeon someone with, you know. These were like two-hander pipes, right? And you know, but the bowl size on them though was very normal. And so we're kind of divorcing the size of the pipe itself from the size of the chamber. were there.
That's good. I was curious as to how, like, you know, how best to define it. And I think honestly, just the overview that you just said in terms of the various ways in which someone might define the shape, size, style of a pipe, yeah, those are good distincting factors. I mean, I recently had a calabash that I was smoking, and I was really excited to get in there and thought, man, this is going to take a day though, just with the size of the bowl. But you pack it in and it's like, oh no, the actual chamber itself is quite small. This is almost, yeah, like a taster pipe more than anything else. So
absolutely.
Good.
Yeah. One of our local friends, Father Andy, you know, who we mentioned a lot on the air because he's such a dear friend and supporter, but he bought a calabash, gosh, it's probably been about a year ago now. And, you know, was disappointed in the experience because he realized after he started smoking it that, man, this is actually kind of a small pipe, right? This is actually kind of a, even though it's a large pipe and, you know, from the profile, the bowl is just not very big. And so, you know, that kind of to that point. So a lot of folks, you know, isn't bowl sizes and shapes, isn't that kind of a subjective thing, like, oh, well, you know, this, a wide bowl smokes this type of tobacco better, or a deep bowl smokes this type of tobacco better. And, you know, maybe there is some, there obviously is some subjectivity there, right? We always say your mileage may vary. That's kind of the thing we want to, you know, say, obviously you have to, you know, do your own research, find your own tobaccos, find your own, you know, things that work best for you. But, you know, even though it is subjective to some sense, There are, you know, when people start choosing the same thing over and over, you know, if you took a survey and a lot of people said the exact same thing about it, you start to correlate, well, okay, maybe there are some correlations here that make sense, right, as far as this goes. And so we're just going to talk about that and, you know, best practices, and maybe it'll help you, and maybe it'll spur you to do some of your own smoking and research and all that kind of thing. We obviously have different bowl sizes, you know, and just to go over those, we'll talk about like a wide and a shallow bowl. So we're talking about something that's closer to an inch in diameter and, you know, kind of on the shallow end, under an inch deep. And then we've got a wide and deep bowl. So something that, you know, is the same, but maybe over an inch deep and or much deeper. And within that wide and deep range, we've got a kind of the standard bowl shape that almost, trying to describe it, it almost mimics like a basin. It's just what you think of as a standard bowl shape.
Okay.
And then there's a conical bowl shape, right? How would you say, Bo? It kind of points down, and so it tapers down. Does that make sense?
So not like a, it's not a full on cone type situation.
Yeah, but it does have a conical appearance to it, and so it, the bowl will narrow down.
Right.
The chamber will narrow as it gets closer to the draft hole. If you can kind of envision that. Yeah. And then we have a narrow and shallow bowl. So imagine a bowl that, you know, has a smaller opening at the top, but then, you know, is also, you know, not particularly deep, and then a narrow and deep bowl, right? One that is narrow, but has a, you know, maybe an inch, over an inch, you know, drill depth to it before you get to the draft hole down there. And anyway, all these different bowl sizes, why would we talk about that? Surely that doesn't make a difference in the type of tobacco you smoke. If you put your favorite aromatic in any of those, it'll smoke the same. If you put your favorite English blend in any of those, it'll smoke the same. Well, you know, over time, people have kind of determined that there's a correlation to, you know, which tobaccos smoke better in which of these shaped chambers. And so wider bowls tend to have thicker walls. It helps with the structure of the pipe, but it also makes it a little cooler on the hand, which is something to keep in mind as you're smoking some of your favorite tobaccos, maybe a tobacco that smokes hotter. Wide bowls also tend to be good for chunky and, you know, chopped, thick-cut, cube-cut tobacco. These are, think about, you know, the area that you need if you're, you know, shoving your favorite tobacco into this pipe. The area that you're going to need to lay it in there appropriately for it to, you know, not just pack evenly, but also to help the flame kind of help the leaves catch each other on fire kind of while they're burning. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does. Although I do wonder, I mean, like, is there probably some merit in if you're prepping, I mean, we don't have to go like too deep into this, but if you're prepping, yeah, cube cut, like the process as well.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, if you are prepping the tobacco, you know, you have the opportunity there to, you know, tear it apart to a different variety. We'll get to that later kind of if you're talking about like flake tobacco or something of that nature. But, you know, a lot of times, though, these tobaccos, they're chopped pretty thickly, right? And so, you know, think of your favorite Burley blend, your maybe your favorite aromatic, your favorite English blend that's got a lot of different ingredients in it, maybe some thick-cut Latakia along with some, you know, thicker-cut Burley and some, you know, more generous cuts on things like Virginias and Oriental tobaccos, things of that nature. And so anytime you're introducing a lot of different leaves into a blend, it's a really complex blend. You know, those tobaccos are all, they're kind of different. They need more room to spread out and as they're burning, kind of cross-pollinate each other, right? And so, you know, a wider bowl can be good for those, particularly English blends that tend to be a little, you know, a little chunkier and, you know, just need some of that. You know, also an aromatic, they tend to build a little more cake because of the, you know, moisture content in aromatic tobaccos. And so as you're smoking aromatic tobacco, a lot of times a wider bowl can be helpful for that because you are going to need more space, not just for the cake, but also, you know, the tobacco itself might be stickier. It might kind of clump together a little more easily. And so there, if you have a narrow bowl, it's going to, you know, the opportunity to kind of clog that available smoking space, it might be there. And so, you know, we think of, you know, a medium to large size bowl, you know, as something that's going to be better for your typical aromatic tobacco, one of your favorite Burley blends, or maybe a thick cut English Balkan blend, something like that. So the depth of the bowl, a lot of that with a wider tobacco can really come up to like how much you're really wanting to smoke. You know, at that point, it's more of a, well, are you wanting a, you know, a long smoke, a short smoke, that kind of thing. And so the width of it is really the only thing you're thinking about. The depth of it is just more of a function of how long you want to sit there. The only thing with that, though, is that, you know, with the tapered conical style bowl that you might find in like a really wide chamber, the leaves, it's forcing, as the bowl gets deeper, those leaves to kind of stick together a little closer. And my experience is that it's going to stay lit a little easier. The wider bowl that's tapered is going to stay lit a little easier as you go through the bowl, which would make sense, right? It kind of forces the tobacco together, you know, towards the bottom of the bowl there. But, you know, it's one of those things where as the bowl is narrowing, that cone is kind of coming down to the draft hole there at the bottom. You know, you've got an intensity of flavor that's building, and some people might experience a little more ashiness. Some people might experience just a more intense flavor. You've got that kind of narrowing of the tobacco, all that heat being forced into one little space, and so so the flavor may be affected by that. That's just something to kind of keep in mind.
That's good, yeah.
Now, if you have a narrow bowl, a lot of times folks find this better for Virginia tobaccos also that are, you know, more narrow cut. Taller bowls are nice for Virginias. It's particularly true for the ribbon cut tobaccos and ones that are finely torn apart. If you think about the mechanics of this, again, I'm not a physicist, and I didn't stay at a, you know, Holiday Inn Express last night.
You're a physicist enthusiast. I've always taken you as such.
Well, you know, that's right. That's enough to be dangerous, you know, as I sit here, you know, recording in the future nursery of baby Cole, you know. Yeah, I know lots about this kind of stuff. Yeah. But, yeah, so, you know, but you think about it, if the narrowness of the bowl, you know, as you're puffing this, as you're concentrating, there's less opportunity for oxygen to get into the chamber, correct? If it's narrow at the top. And particularly if it's taller, you know, the tobacco down towards the bottom of the chamber on deeper into the chamber there is going to have less of an opportunity to be exposed to that oxygen. And so you kind of have this effect where, and then also as you puff, the air as it's going through the tobacco chamber, it's just much more concentrated. And so what happens is you have all the tobacco typically being burned and lit much more evenly, right? So it's even, it's has the opportunity to bake kind of in that chamber more because it's going to get a little hotter. You know, it helps you as a Virginia smoker, someone that's smoking tobaccos that have maybe much more, you know, homogeneous characteristics. It's just all Virginia Puro, for instance, or something. You know, it's probably going to help you sip that tobacco easier and keep it lit a little easier. This is good for tobaccos that have, I think, you know, personally, kind of a high natural sugar content. because, you know, you don't have to work the tobacco as hard to keep it lit. With a wider bowl, you're going to have to puff probably a little more to keep it lit, because the leaves are thicker, they're farther apart, and so you're just going to need a little more space for that and more opportunity for them to go out. With that tall, narrow chamber, it's going to stay lit maybe a little easier, but it's going to help you sip that tobacco. So it's kind of an interesting paradox, right? You've got the narrow leaves go better in a narrow chamber, the wider, chunkier cut leaves go better in a wider chamber, but then you also... The wider chamber is going to have the tendency to, or maybe the necessity to be puffed quicker, whereas the benefit of a narrow chamber is you can puff it slower, which just happens to be a good thing because, you know, Virginias need to be sipped like that. They need to be babied along as you smoke them. So anyway, just something to keep in mind there. You know, the sipping of that tobacco can be really good. And then a lot of folks will say a tall cylindrical chamber is good for these Virginia leaves. One of my favorite things to do actually is to smoke a Virginia flake out of a kind of a short chamber, and the reason I like that, a short, more narrow chamber, we're talking like maybe a 13/16 inch drill there, is that I can cram a lot of flake tobacco down in there. As it is lit, as it, you know, starts to burn, the flakes, as they expand, it'll slowly kind of rise up over the top of the bowl. So you'll start to see the leaves of these tobaccos kind of slowly fluff up over the top of the bowl. And, that with that narrow chamber, you kind of get a greater effect of that, especially if you're not wanting to smoke there for 2 hours or something. Just kind of a narrow, short chamber, something that is maybe an inch deep or something. I've got a Prince Savinelli Punto Oro, and also a kind of a pot-shaped, narrow but short Stanwell that I really like to smoke these flake tobaccos out of. And, it's just really satisfying when you're cramming these kind of chunky flake leaves down into this narrow bowl, and then as you smoke it, because it's kind of a squat bowl, those leaves start to kind of puff up over the top and create this little plume. It's really, really nice, and it's something that I think all flake smokers know exactly what I'm talking about.
But, that's what you want, man.
That's what you want. That's what you want. What's the crux of it, right? You know, your mileage may vary. It's one of those things where if you're smoking, certain types of tobacco, you're going to experiment and have a variety of different pipes. But on average, you know, the typical regular, you know, pipe smoker that has, you know, a few miles under his belt, not the first time around the block kind of thing, is probably going to say a thicker, chunkier cut tobacco is going to go better in a wider bowl, and a more, finely cut, ribbon cut tobacco is going to go better in a more narrow bowl. And then, you know, that you can kind of refine that as you go on. So the more you know, if you're dealing with, Virginia leaves, they kind of might be better in that narrow bowl because of the, you know, it forces you to sip the tobacco. It's going to, burn a little slower. That bigger bowl is going to force you to take more puffs to keep it lit, which it might be necessary for your favorite English blend or your favorite aromatic tobacco. All that being said, there are people that will swear that it doesn't make a difference at all. And, as you're smoking your pipe, it's just, one of those things where, hey, it's your pipe and it's your favorite tobacco, and, you know, they don't necessarily correlate, but so just smoke what goes best out of whatever. And, your mileage may vary, but I think it's a good place to start. You know, if you are looking for that perfect, let's say English blend pipe, you may want to try a wider bowl. I think it'll be helpful for you.
That's good. No, I think that's really, really helpful, especially for those that are wanting to up their tobacco. Well, I hate to say like up their taste game or up their tobacco game, because, you know, smoke what you like. But I mean, at the same time, you know, you like to expand your horizons.
And one thing to think about, you know, a lot of folks, they might smoke a certain type of tobacco, and they're frustrated because everyone else raves about it, but they just can't enjoy it, or haven't, you know, been able to figure out how to enjoy this particular tobacco. Maybe they can't keep it lit. Maybe the flavor is, just not right for them. So this might be one more thing to try to, you know, kind of fine tune that. And man, I've got this tobacco I can't keep lit, or it burns my tongue. Well, maybe try to pair it with the correct bowl size. Maybe that's something you haven't done yet, and see if that helps, right? right. See if that's a see if that's something that can you know, help you enjoy the process a little more.
That's good, man. Well, man, no, this is really good. Hopefully this is a good you know, like I said, I hope hopefully this is good for the you know, the smoker that's looking to expand their horizon and want to make sure they've got the right equipment for the various tobaccos that they're trying, but also, you know, it's I think it's good for the newcomer as well. Arguably some of the concepts here might be considered a little bit more advanced than 101, but at the same time, I don't know. I think you nailed it, man. I think this is like right where you want to be if you've like listened to some of the other 101 podcasts as well.
Thank you, brother.
At least I hope that's the case.
Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah, it's good. You know, it's always a good opportunity just to kind of fine tune around the edges, maybe try something different, particularly if you're just looking for that next tweak to figure out how to enjoy your pipe smoking experience a little more.
All right. So let me ask you this, like beyond cuts, if I was smoking a bowl, like let's say I had a small bowl, a little bowl, like just a tiniest little devil of a bowl, and I was smoking some tobacco. Do you know, like, do you have any recommendations for that per se?
Yeah. Yeah, man. If you're looking for that littlest devil of a bowl, just the tiniest one, you may be interested in the little devil from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right, man. Just as the name implies, this little devil will get you set up. It's a nice small bowl, but it's also a nice little good smoke as well. I've got, I believe, two little devils in my in my collection that I've put definitely a lot of miles on. But a great way to get a good clean smoke and a good taste of whatever tobacco that you're enjoying. And the little devil, of course, from our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, it's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for sponsoring the show when you smoke yours this week, and post your picture out on the Twitters and such. We will retweet those out and showcase your love for the devil, the little devil.
The little devil, yeah, from Missouri Meerschaum. I'd be interested to know, because the little devil has kind of that, medium to smallish bowl. It's, kind of a short bowl too. What folks would say would be, one of their favorite tobaccos to smoke out of that particular pipe. If it's an aromatic, if they feel like it's pretty versatile, that'd be great feedback. So we'd love to hear that.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, we got a great pipe question this week coming in from Corey Reeder. Corey says, "Hi, Bo and John David. First of all, congratulations on a fantastic show, even as it enters into this new era. Congrats to the York family on the new move to Texas." Thank you. "And John David, congratulations on the baby." Children are a blessing, and my three girls have been a constant source of joy, humor, and of course, sanctification. John David, I've got a two-part question. I've been trying to expand my palate and learn to appreciate the nuances of Virginia's and Virginia Perique blends. Something I have noticed is that the flavors are strong and even sweet during the first half of the bowl. However, on the halfway point, especially after relights, the flavor is dulled. The sweetness is gone, and it's almost as a charred flavor. Is this normal and expected, or does it reflect poor technique on my part? Is there any way to keep the flavors constantly throughout? And then as a follow-up question, I know you love Virginias. I really enjoy Orly Golden Slice and Escudo. What are some other blends that you would recommend that I try?"
Yeah, man, great question, Corey. Corey, man, good friend of the show, longtime listener, and we're grateful for you. So there's what you're experiencing is not out of the ordinary, right? You've got this tobacco that builds a very fine ash as Virginias do. They're very clean, and so they just, as they burn, are going to build a very fine ash. They also have a lot of natural sugar, and as they caramelize in that bowl, on through the baking process in that little chamber, as we talked about earlier, they tend to get sweeter and sweeter and more enjoyable, and then they just kind of die. and they just kind of get to the point where, if you get deep enough in that bowl, they can start to taste a little ashy and a little overcooked, as it were. And really, that's what they are. They're a little ashy and overcooked. So, that's why a lot of folks enjoy these smaller bowls for Virginias, because you're not going to sit there and, smoke a Virginia, particularly for 2.5 hours, perhaps.
Well, that's just interesting. So it's really more about the time than and it is the like the space in the bowl itself.
Well,
like, it's not, there's not necessarily a sweet spot per bowl. It's more about a sweet timing.
It's some of both, I think. Like we talked about in the episode today, you know, Corey, you may find some benefit to smoking it in a more narrow bowl because it'll force you to sip those tobaccos slower, and it'll force you to and then also the tobaccos will burn more evenly, more consistently. And so I would try that, you know, and anytime you don't have to relight your pipe more and more, those flavors are going to maintain their pristine, you know, sweetness like that. And so, you know, you talked about, you know, it kind of tasting more charry, more dulled, less sweet after the relight. And I think there's something to be said there. Those relights can be really hard on that delicate, you know, sugar filled tobacco. So maybe try a different bowl size, but also just know that what you're experiencing is not out of the ordinary, right? Mm. You know, that is, you know, just one thing you'll have to remember. There are different packing methods you can use on Virginias that might help. Some people like the little cannonball method where you take your curled up flaky leaves and roll them into a little ball and then just kind of poke it down in the top of the pipe. That may help it as well, just so it doesn't, you know, conglomerate into a big pool of fine Virginia ash there at the bottom of the bowl. You know, there again, you know, pipe tobacco is relatively inexpensive. And so, and you don't want to do it if, you know, you don't want to smoke it just for the sake of smoking it. You want to enjoy it, what you're doing. It's, you know, life's too short to power through a bowl of ashy tobacco, right? and so, smoke your pipe until you enjoy it. And if you find typically that the last third of that bowl, for whatever reason, just, you know, tends to be a little more bitter, pungent, not enjoyable, man, just chunk it out and load up another pipe. You know, I think you won't be, you won't be seen as, you know, lesser for that. And I think, frankly, a lot of pipe smokers probably do that. You know, so as far as keeping the flavors consistent throughout, you know, just you'll have to think about some of those things we talked about just then. As far as Virginias go, you know, I know you mentioned Orlick Golden Slice, Escudo, some very venerable blends that we love and smoke a lot of. Others you ought to try. Golly, you know, there's just a lot of different ones. The St. James Flake from Sam Gaywith, you know, very popular blend. It's got a nice chunk of perique in there. The Solani 633, their yellow selection, it is just so good, man. It's naturally sweet tobacco, but it also has that real hefty dose of perique in there. It's just almost a just a Virginia perique lover's caricature, you know. Just a really good tobacco to try. Other ones might be, you know, Luxury Navy Flake from Peter Stokeby, Stonehenge Flake from GL Peace, things like that. Of course, we've talked too in the past about some of my favorite Virginias, which include Vowin Virginia Flake. It's just a real buttery, creamy Virginia Flake that I'm obsessed with. Lots of natural sweetness. And then also Mac Baron Pure Virginia, which is a fantastic tobacco. It has just a lot of character. I tend to call it the Chardonnay of Virginia Flake tobaccos. It's, you know, judge me as you will, but
somehow that'll still come back on me, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, and as it should, right? But anyway, just some options for you, Corey. Thanks for writing in.
Yeah, excellent question, Corey. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week for us, be sure to send it in, show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire questions.
Ow! All right, man. Quick fire questions. These are great. These are coming in from Anonymous. He gave us.
Are they so embarrassing that they don't want to be associated with him?
Well, I don't want to speak for him, but a lot of this, I think this kind of qualifies as one of our listeners who may be in ministry and doesn't want their name getting out there.
Oh, okay.
That sort of situation.
No, that's good.
All right, so here we go. This is great, though. This is a game show edition. So are you ready to play? Quick fire questions. All right. Let's make a deal.
With Monty Hall. I mean, Bo York.
Do you choose door number one, door number two, or door number three?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'll go with door number three. I feel like, you know, if you choose one or two, that's kind of where most people think they've put the good stuff. But number three, it's kind of like the best for last. So I'll go with door number three.
All right. So here's my thing. Everybody, I mean, two is the most obvious. Three, for all the reason you just said, makes sense as a close second. But because one is the one that gets overlooked the most, I'm going with one. That's okay. Where the goods are. That's okay. What I'm saying.
You think that's where the new car is behind?
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. Number two, Jeopardy. True Daily Double or Play It Safe?
Golly, I don't know. I guess Play It Safe. I mean, I don't know enough about Jeopardy to be able to feel like I can really gamble on this, but I have a hard enough time with Jeopardy, you know, trying to think of having to answer with a question. You know what I mean?
What is Play It Safe?
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. You know, I don't know that I got the smarts to be able to make that kind of move. All right, Wheel of Fortune, solve or spin for more money?
Gosh, man, I'm a pansy. I'm going to solve, man. I bird in hand, like, you know, you've got, I would be the guy that would spin the wheel and it would go to that little narrow bankrupt, you know, sliver. There's like 1 in 1,600 chance that you'll land on that one, and I land on that one and lose my kid's college fund. You know, man, I'm gonna solve the puzzle.
Well, and as much as I have what my grandfather used to call York luck, not the one that passed, but my father's father used to call it York's luck. I would definitely spend for more money, and it's not. I would act like it's because I'm going for the big money, but it's really because I'm dyslexic, and even though there's only one letter left, I still don't know what it is. So that's why I'm doing that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Password. Does Bo give the clues or John David give the clues?
I don't know what password is, but I think you would be better at giving clues, so I'll let you give the clues.
Yeah, I think password predates us. I could be wrong. Maybe this is a current game show, but but based on the context of the question, I think you're right, and I agree. I think I would probably give the clues. It'd be interesting though, like, to figure out which one of us which one of us has a better perception of how the other one's mind works. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not just giving the clues. It's also, you got to think about, no, I got to give a clue that this person would actually get.
Right.
And so you have to kind of put yourself there. I think I could probably get the clue.
Yeah.
I think
that's good.
All right. And finally, who wants to be a millionaire? John David Cole. Would you rather phone a friend? That friend is Brian Levine. Or ask the CSR audience?
Oh, wow. So do I get to phone Brian Levine for the answer or ask the CSR audience?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's tough because, you know, Brian... He's actually really, for all the grief we give him, he's a smart guy, you know.
He is, yeah.
and he's well read and man just knows a lot. I don't know, our broader CSR audience though, I think I'd have to go with that. I mean, all my love for Brian and his brilliance, but I mean, gosh, the variety of the CSR audience. I'm gonna have to go with that. I mean, just more opportunity in numbers.
Yeah, I'm thinking. So it's one of these things, right? Because like the audience that we have here, as you say, the wealth of knowledge is vast and all over the place. And even if it's, say, something like pipes, like let's say the question is pipes or even just tobacco, I think I'd probably go with the audience unless...
Yeah, I don't know, though.
Well, if the question was a pipe industry question, then I would phone up Brian Levine.
Yeah, maybe
or,
so.
Or if it was about Disney World.
Yeah. Right. Name the tobacco created at Disneyland in 1984, you know, on whatever. Yeah, that would be a Brian question. No, I think, gosh, if it were a pipe-specific question... man, it'd be, I'd probably pull for Brian, but in general, I think I'd probably have to go with the CSR audience, man. We got people that are involved in everything, dude. I mean, it is bizarre. We have so many dear friends from, lobbyists and special interest groups to, teachers that want to keep and pastors that want to keep their, their identities hidden, surgeons and bankers. And I mean, we got it all. I think there's a lot of bases to be covered there.
This is very true. All right, excellent. Quick fire questions from Anonymous. Hopefully we'll get some more from you. Hey, it's all right. We will, if you don't want to put your name attached to it, that is fine. We don't mind protecting your identity, so happy to do that for you. And if you got some pipe or if you got some quick fire questions for us, feel free to send those in. show@countrysquireradio.com. again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback coming in from Bib Rex, or Bin Rex. There we go.
Yeah.
On iTunes. You might want to let me take this one, actually.
Yeah.
He says, JD and BY have great conversation and awesome material. There's literally times when I'm in traffic and dying laughing while people are looking over in awe. I'm learning a lot and my commutes feel shorter. I've got a toddler and who loves Paw Patrol and the cartoon, that is the cartoon. And whenever a quickfire question comes in, I get reminded of the cartoon's, ow, Paw Patrol, roll, ow, ow. Yeah, that's why I wanted to do it instead of you. Anyways, you can tell these guys are good friends, and I'm glad there's a podcast like CSR to help us grow and stay connected or stay current. Keep up the good work. First of all, Ben, thank you so much. Wonderful review. That's huge. Second of all, John David, do you even know what Paw Patrol is?
Yeah, no clue. No clue at all, although it may be in my near future.
I was about to say, it's coming. It's definitely coming.
Yeah.
All right. Then, the next one up is actually from Cody, who, of course, DeWitt, who just became a Squire member of the club here. So what did Cody have to say?
Cody says, hey, guys, very excited to be a part of the Country Squire Radio community. I first found the podcast on Spotify after listening to the bulk of the backlog and having gained a ton of information as a new pipe smoker. I feel it important to support a podcast that I see as a vital part of furthering the pipe community and more specifically reaching out to a younger generation of pipe smokers like myself. Man, that is high praise, dude. That is really kind. He goes on to say, it's very encouraging to hear about the relationship the show has with my local pipe club, the Furniture City Pipe Society. Of course, he's talking about all our dear friends up there in Michigan, both on the show and with the folks in the club itself. It makes me feel like I'm a part of something much larger than the brick and mortar community that I support here in my hometown of Grand Rapids. Hoping to make it a pilgrimage down to the Squire in the near future, and would love to share my story of jumping into the pipe smoking realm. If it wasn't for the folks at Indian River Tobacco Traders, I would not be diving headfirst into this community like I have. I believe that there needs to be a balance between online outreach and local support of brick and mortar tobacconists and pipe clubs, and I'm very thankful to have found my online outlet through your podcast. Blessings, and that's from Cody DeWint up in Michigan. So, man, you nailed it, brother. You absolutely crushed it. Like, you know, having that opportunity to support your local brick and mortar, there's no finer pipe shop, you know, tobacconist that really knows about what they're doing in America than the folks at Indian River Tobacco Traders. Just great guys up there, and we're so thankful for the community that they've built and let us be a small part of. And continue to support them. And if you're in an area that's got a pipe shop that's trying, or maybe a cigar shop that's trying to get into the pipe realm, man, just support them, encourage them, and just let us know how we can be a part of that, and keep us posted. But Cody, that's great. Thanks so much, brother.
Absolutely, Cody. We really appreciate that. And man, it's so true. Wonderful. We try very hard to make sure that as we are kind of growing the international Country Squire Radio Pipe Club, that it's really, it's not a replacement for your local pipe club. We always want to make sure that you're getting connected to your local community.
Absolutely.
There. And and hopefully I'll be making my way out there again. This last past year when I was up in Grand Rapids, it was a brief trip. Got to hang out with the Father of Flames guys, but wasn't able to do kind of the normal meetup. But this year we might be back on track and or in a different time of year. That's the thing about a move, man. It throws everything off. But I cannot wait to get together with the good folks over there at Indian River Traders, because that's it's a great shop, great community.
Yep.
All right, man. So, some excellent feedback. We love getting all this wonderful feedback. Of course, especially those iTunes reviews. If you have not done so already, head over to iTunes and write us a review. I think currently we're at 333 ratings on iTunes. So if you're the next one to review us, you'll put us over that magic number, which is totally fine. Definitely do that. Let's see if we can get to 444. That would be amazing.
Dude, that'd be incredible. That's so great, man. You just think about all the awesome community that we've developed here, and those little chip-ins and feedback from our listeners, they really make a big difference.
Big time. Also, we love to hear out from you throughout the week. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheRealBoYork.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire. And
of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio, but all that information and more can be found at countrysquireradio.com. All right, man. So great stuff. Great way to educate the folks on getting ready for the right tobacco for the right size bowl.
Yeah.
And then also even just kind of the definition of, you know, sizing up your bowl in terms of the chamber versus the bowl and managing those expectations as well. I mean, excellent primer. I got to be honest. I was skeptical going into this episode.
Yeah. No, there's a lot
of really good info.
There's a lot of good content there. I mean, I think this is one of those places where, you know, as you continue to fine tune your pipe smoking journey and experience, or maybe you're looking for that one little thing to make a certain tobacco a little more enjoyable, this is one thing to pay attention to. And so hopefully it's helpful to someone.
All right. Well, hey, man, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.